I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound His word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Watch this Christmas video, brother.
What do you mean you can't speak? You put that down and talk to me, Zachariah. You went to the temple to burn incense, and now you can't speak. Oh, because you doubted. What does that even mean? You doubted what an angel told you. Oh, now it's all making sense. Are you feeling all right, huh? Maybe you should sit down. Oh, I should sit down. Listen, whatever game you're playing, I really wanted to stop, Zachariah. It isn't funny. This isn't funny, Zachariah. An angel told you this. The angel said that our prayers have been heard. That you, my love, will bear a son. We will be filled with joy and gladness, and that many will rejoice at his birth. He will be like Elijah. He will prepare our people for the Lord. Too old to be a mother. And you can't even speak. Oh, you can't even speak until he's born. Oh, that might not be the worst thing. I can't wait to tell my cousin Mary. We will call him Zachariah, yes?
What's in a name? Actually, a lot. In Scripture, naming a child was not only meant to identify the person, it carried with it a sense of destiny, a description of their character. Symbolic meanings of names were intentional with newborns, like this miracle baby on the video to be named John. Would you take your copy of God's Word and open it with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1. As we prepare today for Advent, the first Sunday of Advent, let's consider these central characters we've just observed, whose names actually have much to teach us about our coming Savior. As the Christmas story unfolds, we find this faithful older couple carrying a painful burden. Look with me at Luke chapter 1. I begin reading in verse 5. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. You know the story. They will soon conceive a little baby boy who becomes a great prophet, John the Baptist, a cousin of Jesus, actually, who prepares the way for his earthly ministry. Each of these family members were given a name of rich significance that helps to shape our Christmas story of hope and expectation. Their names help us understand what God was doing in those days and what God desires to do in our lives today. Let's look at the meaning of each of their names. Zechariah means God remembers. Say it with me, God remembers. Elizabeth means God is my oath. Again, God is my oath. And John means God has been gracious. Again with me, God has been gracious. God did remember the prayers of his servant Zechariah. God did make an oath, a promise to Elizabeth. It was fulfilled with the birth of their son, John. That in itself was an act of grace. And John would become a messenger of grace as he declared our Savior's presence and power. As we unpack their story, we discover from them three personal gifts our Savior grants us that parallel the meanings of their names. In Luke 1, we find Zechariah being chosen to enter the temple and burn incense in worship of our Lord. Verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. At the center of the angel's message was a statement we should never forget. Your prayer has been heard. Your prayer has been heard. Angelic encouragement underscores the meaning of Zechariah's name. God remembers. Your prayer has been heard by God himself. If an angel appeared to you, physically appeared to you while you were worshiping the Lord, and the angel informed you, your prayer has been heard, and the very thing you asked God for a gazillion times was now being promised to you, would you believe it? Zechariah wanted to, but frankly, it just seemed too good to be true. He'd been praying about this for decades. Nothing but silence in return. So much time had passed that common sense easily outweighs his faith. If it's too good to be true, it's not true. Verse 18, he responds and says, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." It takes faith to believe what the angel declared. It takes faith to go where common sense won't tread. Our faith is bolstered when we realize our God remembers. On this first Sunday of Advent, we discover this first personal gift our Savior Jesus grants each of us who follow him. Here it is. My Savior remembers me. I am not forgotten by him. Say this with me. My Savior remembers me. I am not forgotten by him. Zechariah had concluded long ago that he and his sweet wife had been overlooked. God was busy with important matters. Their little situation, though it was large to them, certainly didn't qualify as important enough to occupy God's thoughts. Ever reason like that? Ever pull back in prayer to prevent disappointment? Ever give up praying for something after years of interceding with no seeming response from heaven? As followers of Jesus, we would be wise to keep praying, to keep pouring out our hearts to him, knowing that, say it with me, my Savior remembers me. I am not forgotten by him. To help Zechariah appreciate the necessity of faith, the angel responds in verse 19, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Months later, this same Gabriel would reference this matter when speaking to Mary, Elizabeth's cousin, when he says in verse 36 of Luke chapter 1, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is already in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is impossible with God. Do we really believe this? Nothing is impossible. We tend to have a long list of impossibles. Situations, concerns, issues that keep us awake at night. We may have prayed about them, but do we really believe our God can do anything about it? No matter how discouraged you may be feeling today, may I remind you, my Savior, say it with me, my Savior remembers me. I am not forgotten by him. Well, Zechariah heads home mute yet ecstatic. He realized God had remembered. He and Elizabeth had not been forgotten. The video gave us an idea of how that conversation may have occurred. Imagine Elizabeth grappling with this and then weeks later discovering she is indeed pregnant. Verse 24 tells us, after conceiving the child, she remained in seclusion for 5 months. She wanted to be sure before she said a word to anyone else. When she feels that little boy kicking inside her, she declares in verse 25, "The Lord has done this for me. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." Infertility carried with it painful emotions. that were just as real in Elizabeth's time as they continue to be today. Elizabeth's name means God is my oath or my promise. Unlike her husband, there is no record of any doubt on Elizabeth's part. She quickly embraces the message Zechariah is finally able to deliver, and the growing child in her womb strengthens her resolve to actually believe God's promise. There's a second personal gift our Savior Jesus grants each of us who follows him. My Savior promises me. I am valuable to him. Say this with me. My Savior promises me. I am valuable to him. Our Lord promises to forgive us and cleanse us of all of our sin when we repent. Why? Why does he not make us pay for those sins? Why would he extend such grace to us? Why? Because we are valuable to him. Our Lord promises to never leave us, to never forsake us. Why? Because we are valuable to him. Our Lord promises the Holy Spirit will indwell and empower all those who follow Jesus. God's very presence with us. Why? Because we are, say it with me, valuable to him. Our Lord promises he will take us to heaven to be with him when we die, so we can leave our weak, sick body behind and live forever in his paradise. Why would he design this for us? Because we are valuable to him. All of his promises to us are based on the fact that he values us. Are you clinging to his promises today? When overwhelming realities, infertility, joblessness, cancer, broken relationships, loss, loneliness, dementia, physical pain, when such realities circle your life like a pack of ravenous wolves, cling to him. Cling to his promises. Why? Because you are valuable to him. Elizabeth grabbed a hold of this promise and would not let it go. She had suffered for years, and now there was a ray of hope. She centered her attention on the only one who could fulfill the promise, and she basked in the joy of being loved and valued. Verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. Like her, to experience lasting joy, we need to lay hold of this fact. Say it with me again, friends. My Savior promises me. I am valuable to him. Verse 59. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, no, he is to be called John." They said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately, his mouth was opened. His tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. The Lord's hand was with him. What does it mean to have the Lord's hand with you? Of all the parts of the body, don't you appreciate your hands? What a gift they are to us. With hands, you can gently touch the face of a loved one. With hands, you can move a heavy object out of the way. With hands, you can build a bridge, and then you can carry something across it. You can fold them in prayer. You can lift them in praise. You can defend the innocent. You can put things together and make them right. When you have the Lord's hand with you, there is no need to fear. His hands are on your life, building, defending, praising, drawing, touching, correcting, presenting. His hands are on our lives. There's a third personal gift our Savior Jesus grants each of us who are following him. My Savior is gracious to me. I can expect his hand on my life. Say this with me, friends. My Savior is gracious to me. I can expect his hand on my life. From conception, John the Baptist had God's hand in his life. He was a miracle baby, born to prepare the way for Advent, the coming of our Savior Jesus. At his birth, John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied in verse 76, "And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." John was not only conceived and delivered by God's grace, his very life would be a ministry of grace to others, for he would prepare people to experience salvation from their sins by the tender mercy of our God. As followers of Jesus, we have experienced salvation from our sins by the tender mercy and grace of our God. So we can expect that same gracious hand to be evident in our lives in the future. His grace toward us is not limited. His grace toward us is not rationed. His grace will never dry up. His hand will not weaken and become feeble. His hand is strong and consistent. His grace is deep and rich. John's life was saturated with grace, and so will ours be when we follow Jesus. My Savior, say it with me, is gracious to me. I can expect his hand in my life. From the beginning of time, God has been authoring his Christmas story, a story that leads to deliverance, rescue, salvation for all people who will call upon his holy name. Christmas, Advent, meaning the arrival of God, shows us that he's followed through on his promise to send a deliverer, our Savior Jesus. He is fulfilling his promise to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. That would be all of us today. So that he can guide our feet into the path of peace, Zechariah said. Do you have the peace that comes into a human life when you have your faith and confidence in Jesus? If you don't have abiding peace, no matter what you're facing, if you don't have such abiding peace today, then I must ask you, have you actually ever placed your faith in Jesus? You may have celebrated many, many Christmases. You may have come to church for years. You may know this Christmas story so well you could tell it to your grandchildren. But unless you have the witness of abiding peace in your life, I must ask you again, have you placed your faith in Jesus? Because if your faith is still in yourself, your peace won't be long. It won't stick around. It doesn't take much to knock it loose and cause it to drift away. But when you're trusting Jesus, no matter what comes your way, there is still peace. Amen, church? Did you hear that, friend? You're in a room full of people who are testifying to you. It's true. I invite you this morning, if you've never placed your confidence in Jesus, do so today. Do so today. You must come to the realization that you have to not just understand who he claimed to be, you have to believe he is who he claimed to be. There's a difference between understanding it, knowing it, recognizing it, and embracing it for yourself. You must understand that Jesus is the perfect Son of God who voluntarily laid his life down on that cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He then rose from the dead to prove he had power over sin and over death, including yours. You trust him with your life and your future. You invite him as Lord of all to be Lord over you. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 tells us plainly that if we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord of all and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, the resurrection was real, then we will be saved from our sin. And we will have peace and his abiding presence with us. You cannot have it without turning to Jesus in faith. Again, not just knowing about him, not just acknowledging him, not just recognizing him as the real reason for the season. You have to take it to heart. You've got to switch your loyalties from yourself to him, trusting him more than you trust yourself, depending upon him more than depending upon yourself, believing only he can make you right. No amount of good works on your part will ever accomplish that. I heard a famous person recently say on the news, when asked, do you think you'll go to heaven? They said, oh, I've done more good than bad. I'm sure I will. That's the wrong answer, friend. That's a misguided response. That's someone who doesn't understand their need for grace. If I spill coffee all over this pretty green shirt, and then I try to cover it up with a nice wool jacket or an even brighter tie, does it take the stain away? No. The stain remains. I need someone who can change my shirt, change my life. I can't pretty it up or cover it up. I need him. I invite you today, if you've never placed your confidence in Jesus, do so today. Confess your sin. Ask him to forgive you. He promises he will. Believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's a miracle. It takes faith to believe these things. Ask him for that faith. I want to believe, Lord. He will meet you right there. Can I get a witness on that, friends? It's true. It's true. He is Lord of all. He wants to be Lord of you. Don't hold back from him. Choose to follow Jesus today, and peace will be yours. A peace that nothing can take away. Zechariah, Elizabeth, and their son John were all part of Advent. And their names reveal to us three personal gifts our Savior Jesus grants anyone who will follow him, including people who've decided today, I'm going to start following him. I want that peace. I'm going to give my life to Jesus today. From now on, he'll be Lord of me, no longer me being Lord. Look at these names again. Zechariah, say it with me. My Savior remembers me. I am not forgotten by him. Elizabeth, my Savior promises me. I am valuable to him. John, my Savior is gracious to me. I can expect his hand in my life. This is why I follow Jesus. I follow him because I want a God who remembers me. I don't like going through life on my own. I want a God who promises me and convinces me I'm valuable to him. My life counts for something. I want a God who's gracious to me, because if it's up to me to keep him happy, I'm done. I can't do it on my own, but I can expect his hand in my life. May I invite you this morning to take one of those gifts, perhaps all three of them, and unwrap them over and over in your mind and heart. Allow the Lord to make it real to you this Christmas season. And if you choose to put your confidence in this Jesus of Christmas, I promise you, this will be your best Christmas ever. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, we need you this morning. We need you, Lord. I pray for all of us that are following you, Lord. Life is tough, and we can easily lose sight, unfortunately. Help us remember, I am not forgotten by you. I am valuable to you. I can expect your hand in my life. Would you encourage us today with these truths, these gifts, Lord? Make it real to each one of us. And for those that have admitted in honesty to you already this morning, I've not been believing, but today I want to. I pray that they would just humble themselves, friend. Just humble yourself and say, Lord, I confess I need you. Forgive me of my sin. Take away the curse of death upon me that I could live forever. You are Lord of all. Be Lord of me. can just tell him that right where you sit. Lord, be merciful. Make yourself real to all who turn to you in faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for this time where we can turn our attention to you. Have your way with us, Lord. Thank you for not forgetting. Thank you for valuing. Thank you for your gracious hand. In Jesus' name, amen.
I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. Come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarchchurch.com or simply download the Northmar Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.